what to do. You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at producer A Radio with a Y.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right, you should write this on the board like everybody else's.
Well, I didn't think I could because Shay, who used to work here, did it, and everybody made fun of him for a while, so...
Well, yeah, but he used to work here.
Yeah, you do. You're actually filling in for Jong Lee today. Also, Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And, you know, keep trolling away because that's what you guys do on a Tuesday.
Don't let them get to you, Fred.
Oh,
what's wrong with you?
They're not. I'm actually enjoying them. It's always a little fun that apparently we're important enough that people feel like they have to troll us.
Just you. They're not trolling me.
Well, no, they're trolling you, but I just don't read them.
I don't, yeah. Troll away on me. I don't see any of that junk.
All right. This is, if you're already mad, you're about to be more mad because this is where we do our college football rankings. And I probably have your team lower than they should be. Do you have yours done?
I do.
Okay. Because I have dropped TCU significantly this week.
And how significantly? Where'd you have them last week and compared to this week?
Last week, I think I had them sixth.
Okay.
So I have them 10th this week, but we'll get to that. I'm going to give the little guys their due at the bottom of the poll because nobody else does.
They don't need it.
And again, I'm looking at, okay, what have you done so far? So based on that, at number 25, I still have Temple, where they've been in my poll the whole way. At number 24, I have Memphis. Number 23, Toledo.
Okay.
So I got the little guys at the bottom. 22, Florida. 21, West Virginia.
Very generous of you, Fred. I have mostly the same at the bottom of my top 25 that I did last week. Say okay. BYU got the boot for obvious reasons. And
yeah, they're out of mind, too.
I've got Florida, number 25, Toledo, 24. I've got Wisconsin, 23. And I've left somebody off because my list is now messed up. Anyway, I've got Oklahoma State 21. I got to figure out who I missed out. Oh, Cal.
Yeah.
I've got Cal at 22.
Yeah, I've got Cal at 20, right behind Okie State at 19. And at 18, I have USC, 17, Stanford, flipping the AP poll, which for some reason has Southern Cal ahead of Stanford, even though Stanford clocked them. Northwestern is 16.
Yeah, I've got USC there. Northwestern also moved up in my poll. Mississippi State. I almost put Michigan in my top 25. Did you consider them?
I did. They were the last one out.
Okay.
As a one-loss team, and Michigan and Wisconsin were my two, the two teams on the border. But I gave it to the little guys.
Good for you.
Because somebody has to.
It won't be me.
Of course not. We know that. So, all right.
Top 15
We're
now?
We're on 15 now.
Yeah.
And number 15, the highest one-loss team I have, Alabama.
I also have them at 15, the highest one-loss team.
At 14, I have Florida State.
Okay.
13, I have Clemson. 12.
Clemson has a chance to make a statement this
Yes,
week.
They do, and they can make a big jump. 12, I have Utah. And number 11, I have Texas A&M.
I've got number 15, Alabama, number 14, Texas A&M, number 13, Clemson, number 12, Oklahoma, and number 11, Florida State.
I have Oklahoma at number 10.
Okay.
So I have them a little higher than most folks. I have TCU at number 9.
Boy, that is lower than most would have.
I'm giving...
But I'm not going to fault you for it.
I think that, to me, that's the same as a loss, right? Oklahoma 10, TCU 9. At 8, I have LSU. At 7, I have Georgia. And at six, I have Notre Dame.
I have Notre Dame at 10. I have LSU at 9. I have Utah at 8. I have Baylor at 7, and I have TCU at 6.
Well, I have Baylor up this week, mainly because I still don't know what they are, and they'll get a chance to prove themselves.
Yeah.
But the way they did Rice, starting to think they're a pretty good team. I still don't know. We'll find out. But I have them at number 5. Number 4, I have UCLA, which, considering they lost their best defensive player, to go in there and do what they did is damn impressive. At number 3, I have Ole Miss, and I have the two Big Ten teams, 1 and 2, but I have Michigan State 1 and Ohio State 2.
I have number 5, UCLA. I have number 4, Georgia. I have number 3, Ole Miss. I have number 2, Ohio State, and number 1, Michigan State. So
Georgia is a team that Georgia could easily jump into the top 2 or 3 this week, depending on what happens with Alabama. If
Georgia beats Alabama, they're going to get some big waves. And Utah got some big waves from me this week. Utah's been impressive, man. They've not played an easy schedule.
No.
And the fact that they beat Michigan, they did what they did at Oregon. I mean, that's – when's the last time you saw someone just dog stomp Oregon at Oregon?
Well,
I don't remember it.
No, it's been a while, and that program's been so good for so long, but at some point you start to see some erosion. You just lost a guy who won the Heisman Trophy, fantastic quarterback.
Yep.
So I'm not surprised to see them start to fall off a little bit. But
and Utah's next game is going to be they're going to be home to Cal. They get a week off this week, but Cal gets Washington State this week, which at home, I'm going to say, is kind of a free square. So Cal is going to be 5-0,
right,
going up against 4-0 Utah. That's going to be a really good game. And you might get College Game Day out there in Utah.
That would be kind of cool.
It'd be a rare thing. Yeah.
Texter asked me, did I forget Utah? No, I had him in there.
You just had him lower than I
had him lower than AJ. I didn't have him in the top 10, but I've got him close. And, and like I said, I try to do mine the way the committee did it last year, where you look at the body of work and you drop guys if they're not impressive in wins, or and you raise teams up if they get big wins. Like Georgia, to me, can make the biggest jump this week. And you know what? Baylor has a how I compare Baylor to TCU will have a lot to do with what happens this week.
Yeah.
Because they're playing the same team that TCU just played.
I'm trying to think who could make a big jump for me this week. I think maybe Texas A&M?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big game for them.
And I'm not discounting.
I haven't been bullish on A&M, and a lot of it's because of schedule, but this is a win that I think you'd have to give some respect to.
And I didn't downgrade them because they barely beat Arkansas. That was, considering the last 2 weeks for Arkansas, that was their season.
Yeah.
And I thought they would come up with a pretty big effort. I didn't think they'd cover, but I didn't think they'd play that well. I didn't think A&M would play that poorly, but A&M got a win, and that's that. You know, I'm not going to downgrade them for that. I think West Virginia and Oklahoma this week will be interesting.
Notre Dame Clemson. I forgot about
Notre Dame Clemson.
I mean, yeah, whoever wins that game is probably top 5.
Yeah, maybe higher.
Or in the discussion for it, for sure.
Depending on how it goes. And I've been impressed by what I've seen of Clemson so far, and I just have so much. Yeah, there's so much history with that team that they always lose a game where you go, well, this is their chance. And I think they're going
to
be pretty good.
And I don't think I'm buying into Florida to the extent that I think they could beat Ole Miss. But they're hosting Ole Miss.
They're playing much better football than they did.
A night game in the swamp.
Yeah.
And they've already beat Tennessee and Kentucky, and they've won at Kentucky. And those are two teams that, if you'd asked me at the beginning of the season, I would have said Kentucky and Tennessee are probably both better than Florida. So,
and they're tough outs, both of them. I mean, they're not – I don't think those are great teams, but that's not the same old Kentucky that you used to be able to stomp on.
And Florida's not been – their wins, they're not impressive. I mean, they beat the snot out of New Mexico State, but that's a – you know, that's like – that might as well be New Mexico School for the Blind.
Yeah.
They beat ECU by a touchdown. They beat Kentucky by 5. They beat Tennessee by 1 in a fluke.
Yeah.
But – they've won every game. And if they beat Ole Miss, I mean, you have to take them seriously at that point.
Yeah, I'll tell you another team that I might boost quite a bit is if Oklahoma State beats Kansas State. I think that's another decent win. Maybe. Not a great win, decent win.
I don't know how I feel about Oklahoma State right now because they should have lost that game to Texas.
They should have.
So I
but I mean, they did go in there and win at Austin, which and the Longhorns, say what you want about them. The first game, my big beef was I'm not seeing any progress out of this team because you were seeing three bad losses in a row. I'm at least seeing progress, and I know that's not going to make Texas fan happy. You don't want to hear, oh, well, you know, it's moral victory Tuesday. But the truth is, that's two games against good teams they could have and maybe should have won. That's at least progress from where they were.
What happens if Kansas State beats Oklahoma State? That puts him at 4-0. You respect?
Yes, they'll earn my respect.
Okay. That's all they're playing for.
Exactly. There's no other reason to play, right? Let's grab a phone call. Start with Brian. What's up, Brian? Go, Brian.
Brian. Hey, sports gentlemen.
Sports to you.
Hey, I had a question. I didn't know if it was too early or not to kind of throw this out there, but what are you all guys, I guess, front runners for the NFL MVP between Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and maybe a Carson Palmer?
I still don't think Carson Palmer's going to stay healthy for the full season, unfortunately. See,
that's why I'll tell you what. I don't mean to duck it, but I like to wait till there's four games in before I start ranking my MVPs and things like that.
It's pretty early to make an educated guess on those things.
And maybe that's the old newspaper guy in me. We used to do that stuff after four games, eight games, and 12 games. So,
I mean, to me right now, it looks like it's Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. I think you could have made an argument early for Ben Roethlisberger, but it's gonna take a backseat now. So if I had to take, you know, Brady, Rodgers versus the field, I'd probably feel okay with that. But I mean, it's so early. Julio Jones,
yeah.
When's the last time a receiver was the NFL MVP?
Boy, Jerry Rice.
It's been a long time.
Look that up. All right,
I'm looking that up now. That's crazy.
281 asking Baylor game be. Compare being its neutral site. Well, it's their first game against an adequate team, and if they win by 3, then I'd be less impressed than TCU. But if they win it by 21-24 points, which wouldn't shock me, then yeah, that's still more impressive, even if it is at a neutral site.
Boy, Jerry Rice didn't win the NFL MVP.
Yeah, I guess he was always. I was always pretty much going to Montana back then.
I don't know if a receiver ever, a wide receiver's never won the NFL MVP.
Oh, there you go.
That answers that question.
Yeah, that was the last time. Never. Yeah.
So you can probably scratch off Julio Jones, too, because if he does enough to win it, they'll probably give it to Matt Ryan.
Probably. And a lot of people ask me where I have UH. I have them just outside behind Michigan at 27.
Okay.
So they're close. Go in and win at Tulsa impressively. I might bump you over one of these other little guys that I have in there. So that's what I'm trying not to be Homer Boy on. All right, quick break. We come back. We'll get through your phone calls. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Alabama, Georgia, college football, 3 p.m. Saturday on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on The Blitz, Local Music Tuesday. Hope you guys are having a good one. Baylor -17 over Tech. It's a pretty big number.
It's a really big number for a team that hadn't played anybody.
Yeah.
Not the Tech's anything special. I don't think they are.
They can score, though.
They can score.
And Baylor doesn't, they don't play great defense. Do you see the LSU line?
I know it's something ridiculous.
44.5 over Eastern Michigan.
That's a crazy number.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Let's grab a couple phone calls. Let's try... Darren, you're on The Blitz. Go. What's
going on, guys?
Sports is going on.
Awesome. Yeah, I just had to call you guys back because last time I called, you guys thought I was Tyrod Taylor's agent. But just wanted to pick your brains and just saw you guys thought about him 3 weeks into the season. I mean, I told you guys that I really believe he could beat Russell Wilson 2.0. And I was surprised you guys didn't catch that. I mean, you guys being so big on college football, I mean, I'm surprised you guys didn't see much of him at Virginia Tech. And,
no, I saw plenty of him. I saw plenty of him, and I saw that he holds onto the ball for way too long. But I will admit, the dude has gotten a lot better.
Yeah, he's much. And, if you were basing it on what you saw at Virginia Tech, then no offense, but you're crazy.
Yeah,
but
if you were basing it on what you saw at Virginia Tech, he was never going to be worth a damn. But the guy he's getting rid of the ball faster now. He's doing a really good job. I'm not sure I'm willing to be like all in excited about the guy, but I'm starting to see, you know, a little those signs that maybe the guy can play.
Well, the people up there were saying all along that he was much better than they were expecting when they signed him. And Rex Ryan's always liked him. They've done a very good job of putting talent around him. And we'll see how it goes. As teams adjust, what will he do to adjust to them? Yeah. And so far, so good. I like the guy. I like what I've seen out of him. I want the Bills to do well. I think it's good for upstate New York.
Yeah, man, it's really good. It's good for the NFL when they're good. I know that because they never are.
713-780-ESPN. Let's try Dave. You're on the Blitz. Go.
Sports, guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, not sure what you know about my team. I mean, we're way up there north, the Iowa Hawkeyes. I don't want to jump too soon. I mean, it's been Illinois State. We did go take our Iowa State down in their house, and we beat Pitt. We got Wisconsin coming up for the first game. You know, we sent Rudock back in. He's doing okay with Michigan, which isn't, which I don't care because J.C. Beathard, you know, I wanted him last year. As soon as Ferentz became the number one top highest overpaid coach on ESPN's list, I think that's when in the spring he named C.J. Beathard our starter. And I just want to know if you guys seen any of the Hawkeyes and what you think, and if you think we'll be rated if we beat Wisconsin, or ranked, I mean.
I think they probably will be ranked if they beat Wisconsin. That doesn't mean that I think they'll be good. The thing that Iowa has going for them is they've already beaten Iowa State, which is always a trouble spot for them.
Right, beat especially them at Iowa State.
At Iowa State. So that is good. I mean, it's hard to say that's impressive because Iowa State is literal dog crap. Their best win so far is Pitt, and I don't know what Pitt is because Pitt hasn't played anybody, you know, outside of Iowa that's a non-conference or that's in a Power 5 conference, and they beat Pitt by 3. And their schedule lines up with the only other teams right now that look like they're any good are Wisconsin and Northwestern. Now, both of them are on the road. You get Nebraska at the end of the year. I mean, it's entirely possible, but I've seen enough Iowa football in my life to know that they're going to blow a stupid bonehead game at some point.
Yeah, and but boy, you look at the rest of their schedule. Wisconsin's going to be tough, obviously, although I'm not that sold on Wisconsin this year, but that's a good win if you go in and beat them at their place.
No doubt.
Illinois is hot garbage. At Northwestern's not going to be easy.
Maryland is literally maybe the worst team in Power 5 football.
Maybe so. They're down there. Indiana, if it's not.
Also in the conversation.
Although Indiana's won a couple games.
So is Purdue, by the way.
Yeah, and then you get Minnesota at home, which, you know, Minnesota's okay. But
that's a winnable game.
And Purdue, and then at Nebraska. So realistically, you've got 3 games left on your schedule that are going to be tough. And, well, if you did all that, you'd probably make the championship game. But where you'd have to face a real team. But, yeah, I think if you can get by Wisconsin, good luck with that. What are your guys' thoughts on place kickers' values increasing? The Tampa-Houston game was an eye-opener for me, and I could easily see an uptick in legitimate PK salary. I don't, because they're so replaceable.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You saw it this week with the Texans. They just sent a draft pick packing.
Yeah, the Texans aren't going to go out and spend more money on a kicker.
Yeah.
I think, if anything, you're going to see more teams going for two.
Yeah. If you have a good offense and a bad kicker, which makes sense to me. I think that's good for the game. Joseph said, word here in Lubbock, Mahomes may not play. That's why the line keeps moving toward Baylor. Yeah, that would do it, because he's playing very well for them. Let's try Sack. Sup, Zach?
Sports guys.
Sports to you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about the UH Cougars. They have been playing really good ball so far. What do you think, where they stand as far as the ranking is concerned?
I think I think Fred and I both agree they're probably just outside the top 25. I think I'd probably have them somewhere in that 25 to 30 range.
Yeah, I think they still need another. I think they need another signature win to get moved up, and that's going to be kind of hard. I mean, Tulsa's better. I don't think that's going to be easy, but SMU should be no problem. Tulane's no problem. UCF isn't the team it was. So really, it might be Vanderbilt. If they keep winning and beat Vanderbilt here on Halloween, maybe that's when they get in the rankings. That's the stretch where we'll find out what they're really about. Assuming they take care of business in the games they're supposed to, that Vanderbilt, Cincinnati, Memphis stretch, and then at Connecticut and Navy to finish the season. Those are the five games that I could see going either way, really. Although Cincinnati is not quite what I thought they were either. But that Memphis team is very good. UConn, they're better than UConn, but that's not an easy trip to make. And Navy is always so weird. But you get Navy and Memphis at home. So, but yeah, I still think they're a couple weeks away unless they just crush Tulsa, which I don't think is going to happen. Yeah. And Tulsa's pretty good. And you got to go up there and beat them. 713-780-ESPN. It's either JR or Junior. We'll go with JR. What's up, JR?
It's JR. How y'all doing?
We're doing sports.
Yeah. You know, I was listening to y'all. Last person, you know, other than a quarterback, to win the MVP was 2012. Adrian Peterson in 2005, Sean Alexander. So there's never been a receiver. There's been a place kicker, Matt Mosley, the Redskins in 82.
Which was a joke.
Is that what he's calling for?
I guess so.
I mean, I pulled up the list. I was reading off of it. I knew all that.
Yeah, we mentioned that. You probably missed it. Sorry. All right. 713-780-ESPN. We come back. We'll have Jerome Solomon. We'll see what kind of mess he can stir up this week.
I can't wait for this segment.
Yeah, I'm just going to let you guys go at it this week. I'm not even getting involved. Tell them about Sports Manias.
All right, guys. I've been telling you about Sports Manias for a while now, and it's really helped me out. It's helped me kind of organize things. And it is a really, really convenient tool to have. And the great news is it's absolutely free. This is going to help you dominate your fantasy football leagues. Go to the App Store. Check it out. Search for Sports Manias, one word, and gives you a leg up on your competition. You can import your fantasy teams from Yahoo, CBS, ESPN, and you'll get personalized feeds from fantasy football experts, including breaking news, scoring opportunities, fantasy points, and milestones. You're going to get real-time updates on your players and just your players. It's going to help you make smarter lineup decisions. I've been using this because I have leagues in every one of those sites, and it's really helped me to organize by putting them all into one spot and getting a feed of all my players. You'll receive alerts every time your players are in the red zone. It's a brand new tool that gives you an edge to help dominate your league. Get on your cell phone or your tablet right now. Go to the App Store. Download Sports Manias for free right now. Do it. I'm telling you, it's going to help you out over the course of the fantasy year. That's Sports Manias.
ESPN 97.5.
On your knees, dog. And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get back to your phone calls in a moment. But now it's time for one of the more entertaining segments on the show. Houston Chronicle columnist Jerome Solomon. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. He's got a pretty good run of...
What will you guys fight about today, I wonder?
Let's see. I bet he wants Tebow signed. That sounds like a Jerome take.
I think he believes that it was a mistake to cut Randy Bullock. What do you think, Jerome? Is that what you're going to say today?
It's not a mistake yet.
Okay. Give it time.
Isn't better than Randy Bullock, but Randy Bullock, you know, he probably should have been run a couple of years ago. And kickers, it's the thing. When you get a guy who's really, really good, then you ride him until he's not any good anymore. And it's rare that you're going to get a guy who's going to be great forever. And But Bullock hasn't been awful this year. I mean, you don't get a pass for missing those two extra points. But it's weird that you would run him so soon and he hasn't missed a game winner or anything. So he must have been pretty bad in practice as well to get, you know, run for a guy that, you know, could come in here and miss a game winner real quick. And, you know, it's like, was it the right move or not? There's no way to tell, though. It's not a bad move, though, but who knows if it's a good move.
I wonder about and I talked about this a little bit at the top of the show. It almost seems like, why didn't you bring in somebody to compete with him? It seems like they're just kind of making some of these decisions on the fly, and I'm not so sure that the timing makes sense. Just like with the quarterback pulling Hoyer and saying, "All right, we're making a switch after 1 week." Do you get the sense that they're grasping a little bit over there?
Yeah, gripping and grasping. That's the thing. I mean, at some point we're going to stop using the, well, you know, Bill O'Brien's a smart guy, because these are dumb coaches' moves, period. You know, and if they end up working, they're still dumb moves. It's a dumb move to have had Brian Hoyer here in a 6-month competition, and you pick him because he was the most consistent guy, you said, for over the 6 months, and you dump him after three quarters. I mean, that 3.5 quarters for a guy who played two series in that game. I mean, that's not a smart move. It may end up being smart because, you know, who knows what Mallett's going to do. And the same thing with the kicker here. I mean, if you're going to run him for, you know, banging off the upright a couple of times in three games, then you should have been wondering if he's good enough through all of the camp, and you didn't bring anybody in here to give him a run for his money on the job. And now you bring in a guy who you know can't kick off and doesn't give you any distance on that, and that's why he lost his job in camp with San Diego. And it's, you know, it's a juxtaposition or whatever circle of life. He lost his job to an Aggie and just came in and took an Aggie's job. Talking about Novak here.
What do you think of when do you expect to see Arian Foster back? Because most people think that could be a real game-changing factor for this Texans team. When do you expect to see him back?
I would be surprised if he doesn't play on that Thursday night against the Colts. It's a perfect scenario in a lot of ways. I mean, he's got to get healthy, so, you know, who knows? You know, I mean, if he is just now, he's not healthy today, healthy enough to play right now. If he's just healthy enough to play and you find that out on Saturday, I wouldn't play him on that Sunday against Atlanta. I would save him to give him those few extra days, and that Thursday night against a Colts defense that can't stop anybody on the ground, give him a, you know, it's a good chance for him to get running and get going. And then he'll also have, you know, the 10 days rest after that for the next game. That seems like the perfect scenario to do it. And my guess is that's what's going to happen.
Jerome Solomon, our guest, Houston Chronicle columnist. We were talking about the kicker, but special teams have pretty much been a problem since this organization's been in existence. At what point, and they kept the special teams coach from last time, at what point do you have to start pointing some fingers there? Because, yeah, the punt that should have been downed inside the five, I mean, they can't return the ball ever. They're constantly getting penalties. What is going on with that group?
That one, I mean, obviously the coaching was suspect and had been suspect. But at this point, you start to figure it that this is a byproduct of poor drafting. I mean, if they think about the guys from the third, fourth, rounders only from the last, say, 3 years, guys who we would be sitting here complaining about them, probably saying, man, they drafted this guy in the fourth round and he's not even the starter yet. Well, but he should at least be contributing on special teams, right? Well, their third and fourth rounders are gone. So those guys who, if they wouldn't be good enough to be starting linebackers or, you know, somewhere on the team in the secondary, some, you know, they would be really good special teams players, right? But they missed out on, what is there, probably 5 or 6 of those guys, maybe more? If we really sat down and thought about it, it's probably even more. I'm just going off the top of my head. But that's why your special teams is not loaded with talent. It's just with a bunch of guys from off the street, basically, I guess.
Yeah, we went back and did that in the first segment. It's too depressing to recount the second through fifth round picks that have not.
Yeah, and you're thinking about those guys as actual players. Even if they weren't a player, they could at least be on the team. But they weren't good enough to even be on your team. Well, you just messed up a complete draft pick. When you pick a third or fourth round guy and 2 years later,
he's not on your roster. That's a horrible pick. And you're going to do that every team. I mean, I don't care. The Patriots do it. The Seahawks do it. The teams in the Super Bowl last year, they don't do it every year.
Yeah, I was thinking about that last night when I was watching Monday Night Football, and they did the thing about how many of the Packers players were actually drafted by the Packers, and they've only got like three players on their team who have ever played for another team. I mean, that is really a built from within organization, and when that's the kind of team you are, you can't afford to miss, and it's just amazing to see what they've done, and that's why they're where they are, and the Texans are what they are.
Yeah, and the Texans have done a good enough job in getting guys, star-level players, or you know, and finding star-level players with their, and I know you guys have talked about it one day less, a couple of weeks ago, and you were going down the first-round picks, and you give them credit for a lot of those first-round picks, but after that, what, you know, the other guys who turn your team from being a team with a bunch of stars and scrubs to being a team with stars and really good players to go along with them to complement them. And that's how you have a really good team. That's how you have those long playoff runs. When you put, you know, year after year after year, is when at the bottom and middle of your roster are guys who they're not stars, but they're guys who are part of your system. They're part of your franchise. They've been there forever. They know how you do things. And they're decent enough players. Fans would complain about them because we know them and see them all the time going, man, I can't believe they drafted this guy in the fourth round at cornerback and he can't get on the field, but at least he's contributing. They have guys who never contributed. That's just horrible.
I'm trying to find something to argue with you about. I
love it. I love what we're doing.
Well, since we talked last time, the coach up in San Antonio, we finally found, which I thought was going to be the case, ordered those guys to take out the ref. Who should go to jail the longest, the players or the coach?
Well, the guy who ordered the code red got it in a few good men, so that's what I would say. One more thing I want to ask you about. The defense, I think, is kind of getting a little bit of a pass for the Texans, and we're not seeing them force turnovers the way they did last year, which would help out this anemic offense. We're not seeing them get to the quarterback as much, and teams are doing a pretty good job of neutralizing J.J. Watt. Is this something that – are they going to get better on defense? Are they going to start forcing turnovers again, or was last year just a total fluke?
Well, last year was a fluke. I mean, just like the year before was a fluke, with so few turnovers that they forced. I don't know if they're going to force more. I expect them to play better. Forcing turnovers, a lot of that has to do with luck. But how many really active and aggressive turnover-making guys do they have on that defense? So until Clowney gets to that position and starts making that happen, it might not happen for this team. I mean, as the safeties last year, you know, and Swearinger is just not a good player. But he made 82 mistakes for one turnover, you know.
Yeah.
But he did force turnovers. He did put down some hard hits to have guys looking around and thinking about him. And probably one thing that's missing, though, is for all of our talk about Brian Cushing and how good he looked in preseason and how close to being the Brian Cushing that he was, he hasn't looked like that in the three games yet. And Brian Cushing is Mr. Turnover. He makes the offensive players turn the ball over because they are afraid of him. They haven't been afraid of him yet this year. We'll see if he comes around or not. But at this point, you kind of think he might not.
Yeah, and he's making tackles, but he's not making the impact plays that he used to make.
Part of what creates turnovers is, like I said, it's luck, obviously, too. But part of it is, you know, those slot receivers and those tight ends coming across the middle, they're not thinking about catching the ball. They're thinking about getting their head taken off and, you know, balls get popped up. The quarterback hits, and I didn't check the stats after Sunday's game, but the first two games, no player in the front seven had a sack or a quarterback hit even besides J.J. Watt. You know, Clowney is getting close. I'm sure he got a quarterback hit on Sunday. He got his hands on Jameis Winston one time. But, yeah, if nobody there is getting to the quarterback forcing any action, then you're not going to get turnovers.
That's Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle columnist. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jerome Solomon. And next week, find something for us to argue about. That was no fun.
Oh, that's easy, Fred. You know how we do.
All right, man. Have a good week, buddy.
Okay, later.
All right. Got to tell you guys about Quick Weight Loss. And you've heard me talk for some time about why I did Quick Weight Loss. And no matter what, listen, when you get a little older, that weight comes on real easy. You're working hard. Maybe you got kids. Maybe you're dealing with all that, and you just don't have time to get to the gym. And the next thing you know, you look down and you're like, wow, where did all this weight come from? It happens to the best of us. And it's hard to say, you know what, I really need to do something. And it was hard for me to take a look and actually say, you know what, I've got to do something to get this weight off. So when I went to Quick Weight Loss Center, got 50 pounds off, have kept it off, and now I'm living the lifestyle that I always enjoyed living that I wasn't able to do before because I'd just gotten too big. They can help you too. They've been helping people for 27 years. You should see Sean Salisbury. He looks great. They've helped him. They helped me. They can do it for you. All you have to do is give them a call. It doesn't cost you anything to find out what they're about, and you're going to get that great special, lose up to 30 pounds, plus get a 30-day program for just $30. And kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions apply. They've got 15 great Houston locations. You can drop by one of them for your free no-obligation consultation, or if you're outside of Houston, my friends over at Beaumont, Golden Triangle, guess what? Visit quickweightlosscenter.com, or better yet, give them a call because they've got a home program that will work for you. 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Join me this Saturday for our College Game Day party presented by Coors Light at Luke's Ice House. Our feature game of the week is Texas A&M against Mississippi State. We'll be out on the deck beginning at 6 p.m. for the kickoff. Catch a cold silver bullet with us and register to win tickets to see UT take on Kansas State with a free night stay at Red Roof Inn, courtesy of ESPN 97.5 and Coors Light. I like that 6 to 8 time slot better, although I'm going to have to hustle to get over to see the fights. Before we do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day.
I have to dispute you on something you said earlier. You said that Bunin and Salisbury dressed up and everybody dressed up. Bunin's wearing a plaid shirt. That's not dressed up.
I'm sure Bunin changed. Bunin's a TV guy.
Okay.
He had makeup on.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
All right, never mind then. Where's the shame bill for that? Come on.
Shame.
Anyway. Somebody said I should have called Andre Johnson a scrub to get Jerome going again. Yeah, I'll do that next week, especially if he has another week like that. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Well, they take their soccer pretty seriously in Brazil, even in the lower leagues,
yeah.
lower ligas, as it were. Let's just pretend for a minute you're a soccer ref. And
hold on. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well, you got red cards and yellow cards, right?
Yeah.
Well,
I also have blue cards in my mind.
See, I would have a bunch of cards just to jack with them, and I'd pull it out right before they think, oh, no, I'm going to get a red card. And it's like, this is purple. What does this mean? Nothing. I'm just jacking with you. But anyway.
I'd pull out the orange card, and then be like, is it red or yellow?
Exactly. Confuse them.
You know.
Yeah. You know what you need to do. Well, Gabriel Murta was reffing a match in Brazil, and the other team was getting quite upset. The coach ran out there to yell at him for not pulling out a red card. Apparently the team was getting fairly rough with him. So he did what I think any good red-blooded American would have done. He went to the locker room and got a gun.
Okay.
He comes back with the gun, and he's a policeman by day, so obviously he had a firearm. But basically raced back on the field with the gun, and now he has to undergo psychological testing before they decide on a punishment.
He didn't use the gun, right?
No, he just...
Well, then what's the big deal?
Yeah, it's not like he shot anybody.
Yeah, you're not allowed to like wave a gun around anymore? Come on. If that soccer, you didn't tell me to imagine I'm a Brazilian soccer ref. If that happened in Texas, no big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, okay. You're
not wise, guys.
You're not even suspended.
No.
Here.
No way.
Heck, you can pretty much take a gun anywhere.
Pretty much.
Oh, well. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day. Play the. There you go. You got it.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right.
By the way, I know a couple of you tweeted me about it.
Derrick Rose?
Derrick Rose is hurt again.
Orbital fracture. He took an elbow to the face.
Broken face.
Yeah. Mm.
Color me shocked.
Well, this isn't one that he did, though.
Doesn't matter.
I know. He's just, he's broken. All right, Aaron.
He's cursed at this point.
Tell the people what local music we've played this hour.
So far, this hour, it's been Edge of Eden by Emerge, Colonel Angus by Mad Sons, which is, I think it's Sean Salisbury's favorite song
Colonel Angus?
Ever. Colonel Angus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Tripping by Nick Greer and the G's. And then
by who?
Nick Greer and the G's.
Oh,
I thought you said something else.
Boy, you got to be careful. I thought you said...
Yeah.
Like the...
That's for me.
The scientific word for oral sex. And then I thought later you used a racial slur.
Yeah. You might want to slow down with your delivery there.
All right, I'll slow down.
Yeah.
Just be careful with what you're throwing out there, man.
And then we came back from this break as with Devil's Way by 12 Years Driven.
Yeah, which was one of the songs that helped me finish my 10K Sunday that I had on my phone. I was struggling and got some of that. What was that? Oh, okay.
All right, guys, I'm gonna tell you why did that not come into my headphones?
It didn't come into your headphones?
No. No.
Okay. He said Richmond Bona joint.
Yeah, I caught that. Very strange. All right, guys, if you're a little banged up or you've injured yourselves, you need to know about my friends over at the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. It's part of the UT Physicians Group. They've been recognized for their academic and medical achievements, and the doctors there have developed reputations for being accomplished and progressive. They're dedicated to giving you the best orthopedic care possible. They've even developed systems to ensure the wait time to see a doctor is minimal. They've got three easily accessible locations, Katy, Sugar Land, and Richmond. They've all got free parking right out in front, and they've got 20 physicians that encompass a wide range of specialties, including musculoskeletal, orthopedic, sports medicine, pediatric orthopedic, spine, hand, wrist, and elbow, foot and ankle, and pain management. Give them a call today, 281-344-1715, or visit rbjc.com. You can learn more about the doctors online. You can schedule an appointment, and a physician referral may not be necessary, depending on your insurance. Give us a call to find out, 281-344-1715 for the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic.
ESPN 97.5.